right now, this moment, will never get back. You know, time flies. We all have goals and dreams we want to achieve, but we want to do them in our time. You know, this moment will never get back. This day will never get back. How we choose to spend our time will impact our future here on Earth and can also impact our eternity. That's a sobering thought. Makes me think, what are we really doing with our time? I personally spent my time growing up playing hockey. Since I was 4 years old till I was 16, hockey was it. Every day, every chance I got. I played AAA hockey growing up, and I played with guys who have gone on to star in the NHL. So I thought I can control my future by how hard I worked at hockey. But after 4 concussions, the doctor sat me down and told me I had to hang up the skates. I couldn't play contact sports anymore. The disappointment I felt was fair and expected. But as I laid in what the doctor called jail, it was a dark room for multiple days. I couldn't go out. I couldn't do anything other than eat and sleep. After I laid in that room, the bitterness and the anger that was building up in me was wrong. I was harboring this anger towards God because I felt He took something away from me He gave me. I felt He took something away from me that I had control over, and that control would make me happy, so I thought. I thought God gave me this desire and this skill so I could find happiness. And so when it got taken away from me, the only logical thing I could think of was God was punishing me and God was taking something away from me. As quick as I could snap my fingers, my life was completely changed. I spent all my time doing one thing, playing hockey, and now what was I going to do? How is this fair? What has it been for you? What have you poured your time, your energy, your hope, your future into, only for it to be taken away from you at a snap of a fingers? Maybe you've spent your time, energy, money into raising your kids and wanting them to live a certain way. But as they grew up, they chose a different path than you hoped for them. Maybe you've spent your life trying to start a relationship with this boy or this girl, and you've spent your time getting to know them. But they choose to go off and date and marry someone they barely know. Maybe you spend thousands and thousands of dollars going off to university to get a degree, and when you come back after getting that degree, you can't seem to land a job anywhere. You've loved your spouse for 20 years, and they cheat. You've worked hard at this job, and you've always done your best. You've showed up early, you've left late, you've always gotten the job done. And your boss decides to fire you for no reason right before you can retire. I'm finding out life is hard. But finding joy in life can sometimes be even harder. And that's why I think our default is to try to control everything. We have to try to control our future. That was certainly what I was doing with my hockey. We have our own plans that we are trying to control. But when life changes, when things happen outside of our control, things like COVID, we get angry because we can't have that control we thought we wanted. Solomon speaks into this idea, this thought of giving our control and our time over to God and trusting that God knows best what to do with our time and with our future. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read from Ecclesiastes 3, verse 9 to 15. But instead of reading it from our normal translation, we're going to look at it through the Message version, as this kind of portrays or helps us understand what Solomon is saying here in a clear way, as this is confusing poetic literature. Okay, so we'll start in verse 9. It says here, "But in the end, does it really make a difference what anybody does? I've had a good look at what God has given us to do. Busy work mostly." Okay, so pause here for a second. This phrase right here, this opening part of this passage, is Solomon being sarcastic. Of course it matters to God what we do. We have a purpose, and God has given us an assignment for us to live out. Let's continue reading. "True. God has made everything beautiful in itself and in its time." So this term beautiful, God made everything beautiful, this means proper, showing that God in his providential plans and control has a plan for each and every one of us. Continue reading. but he's left us in the dark, so we can never know what God is up to, whether he's coming or going. I've decided that there's nothing better to do than to go ahead and have a good time and get the most out of life we can. That's it. Eat, drink, and make the most of your job. It's God's gift. Again here, Solomon isn't saying, who cares what we do? Live it up. Go have fun. Don't think about the consequences. That's not at all what he's saying here. What Solomon is saying here is God is the one in control, and he gives us things for us to enjoy and for us to do. As much as we think we have control, we forget God's up there looking down on us. He's the author of our stories. He's the one with the strings. He's opening and closing doors. And he has a beautiful plan that we could be a part of if we give him our time. And to conclude, verse 14. I've also concluded that whatever God does, that's the way it's going to be. Always. No addition, no subtraction. God's done it and that's it. That's why we'll quit asking questions and simply worship in holy fear. Whatever was, is. Whatever will be, is. That's how it always is with God. It's so easy for us to try to find joy in our own efforts, in our own thinking. But what Solomon is saying here is to trust in God's plan so we can stop worrying about life and trying to control it. God has a plan that's much more beautiful than anything we could pull off ourselves, but in his time and how we use our time. So we need to use our time for him. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to enjoy what we do day to day. He wants us to have dreams and goals and to achieve them. God's a loving father, but often our idea of how we should live and God's idea can be a little bit different. Let me read something here. We want to use our gifts and passions for what we want so that we will be happy, but God wants us to use our gifts and passions for what he wants, and then we will find true purpose and happiness. True joy is in his plans, not ours. It's in fully trusting in him and giving him control. And when we can do that, no matter what comes our way, we can look at life through a new perspective, God's perspective, a new world view. And that's what I had to do when I was told I couldn't play hockey anymore. When I was lying down in a dark room in jail, I needed to change my perspective and my worldview from not of my own, but from of God's. Have you ever stopped and thought, why? Why am I so angry? Why can't I forgive my boss, let go of my kids, or be okay with the fact that life threw a curveball? Often it's because our plans or our own idea of joy gets interrupted. We know from reading scripture, from reading the Bible, God's word, that he invites us into his plans, into God's plans. And Jesus, when he lived on this earth, Jesus kind of gave us so many instructions and wise words that we could live by. And two of my favorites, I call them the two greats, are the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. The Great Commission, you should know this. It's go and make disciples, all nations of everybody, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These two commandments, these two passages from Jesus, show us how we could become a part of a much bigger plan. Why we don't have to control every little thing of our lives. You know, the first thing we could pull out of these passages is to love God with all that we are. Spend time with him. Actually spend time listening for him. Schedule this into your life. Make it a point that every day you know when it's your time to be with God. It's not an easy thing to do, but if we make it a priority, it's shocking how when we let God into our decisions, into our lives, into our thoughts, into our ideas, our control lessens and his hand increases. It also shows us to love others. Think about who has God placed in your life. Maybe it's at a go station on your way to work, who you have to sit beside. Maybe it's a little bit farther now. But who does God keep bringing into your life? How are you loving them as Jesus has loved others? He's our example. Third thing we can pull out of these commands are to go out, go into the world and share Christ. Think about when you made a decision to follow Christ. I'm willing to bet it is when somebody shared him with you. So there's going to be someone out there. There's going to be people out there just waiting for you to share Christ with them. And you know what? When we share what we believe, it actually firms up what we believe because we have to research. We have to know why we believe it. When people ask, we have to give account. So the more we're sharing, the more people will be impacted, and the more we'll be grounded in our faith. And that's what he commands us to do. And the fourth thing we can pull out of these passages is that we have God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, indwelling, living in us. Jesus said in the Great Commandment, "You will do greater things than I." That's because we have the Holy Spirit in us. So let's use that. Let's not be afraid of that. And let's be thankful that God loves us so much, he gave us his Spirit. You know, looking back now, seeing God's hand in my life blows me away. Me trying to control my future, me wanting something, and what I thought God taking away from me was actually God changing my perspective, changing my worldview, and giving me something that actually gives me purpose, that actually gives me joy, that gives me a fulfillment I have because I know I'm living a life that he has planned for me. I'm living a life according to his will and his plans. And it's amazing. I'm able to now play the sport I loved. Not for anything, but for enjoyment. And it's non-contact. It's just men's league here in Stouffville. But I have a different purpose. I come here once a week, playing with guys. But instead of just coming here to enjoy hockey, I'm able to enjoy the people I'm with, and I'm able to live out that great commission, that great commandment with my teammates. I come early and sit in the parking lot, usually do this, tape my stick, and ask God for opportunities for me to share him with them. I ask God for opportunities for me to speak into these guys' lives and just walk with them wherever they're at. And it's been amazing. The doors God has opened for me, just because I've asked to be a part of his plans. The joy I get now from going to hockey is like no other joy I had from playing before. It's because my perspective has changed. Because my goal has changed. My goal now is to love the sport, like Solomon was saying, to love and enjoy what we do, but have a purpose for why we do it. You know, God needs all of us in every walk of life, from lawyers to fast food workers, from professional athletes to men's league players. He wants to use you with where he has placed you. But are you willing to give him your time? Let go of life. Still go after your goals. But ask God to be a part of them. Ask him to give you direction. Don't try to do it all on yourself, all on your own. How do you find true joy and true happiness? It's again, by giving him your time.
Father, I guide you, child. heaven's joys, oh bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, oh.